Episode 2140, My Strength is My Story with Ryan Mack, Provisions for Abundance.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a
stop sign, watching. Happy, happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us a financial evangelist. His name is Ryan Mack. And I want to tell you, it's a longer episode, but you have to stay tuned. You are going to love him, and I really think he's going to pique your interest in many ways. For those of you who are brand new to Create You Now, friends and family of Ryan's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com, where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple strategy, everyday solutions to live, love, and impact. Well, this episode is brought to you by the AIM Academy. You know, it's interesting. We have a way of avoiding any discussion or form of finances. We may take it up with our CPA or our financial advisor, but little do we talk about it, even within our own four walls called our home, our own family. Ryan shares a lot in regards to how we can budget, talking about a budget. What does it look like to handle fear and trust? And what can we do to stretch even when we don't think we have what we need? So without further ado, let's welcome in Ryan Mack, Provisions for Abundance. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. We have somebody who's really good with numbers. And numbers that have a dollar sign in front of them. Oh, yes, it is Ryan Mack. He is known as a financial evangelist. His life's mission is to build and develop a durable financial empire geared toward educating his community and beyond. Ryan is a renowned speaker, a financial advisor, and is the founder of Optimum Capital Management. When he's not diving into numbers, he's empowering many with his words as an author. And his latest book is Provisions for Abundance, A Christian's Guide to Money Management, Gratitude, and Giving Back. Welcome, my friend and brother in Christ. How are you?
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Blessing out. Thank you for putting all this fabulous work that you're doing and putting together a platform for so many people. You're doing God's work.
Oh, thank you so much. And I appreciate your time because your book is very extensive and it's written in a very unique fashion. It's really a 365-day devotional for those who want to change their financial life and see it through scripture.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is, God wanted me to do something where, because I've been teaching financial education for, or financial stewardship rather, for almost, I'm going on 20 years. And it's always been biblically based. And the more and more I teach it, the more I'm always trying to say, God, what can we do to make it more tangible? What can we do to make more of an impact? What can we do to actually make, to try to help individuals move the needle and not just read something and then they go away from it and then no habits are formed, no habits are created, no lives are changed. So God gave me a vision of really, we need to, Ryan, you have to do 365 days. And I fought it for a while. I said, well, maybe 30 days, maybe 50 days. That's a good round. Maybe 100 days. He said, no, you need to do 365 days. Because if someone does 365 days every single day, they're going to manage my resources effectively. They're going to give back to their communities more effectively. Then they're going to get closer to me. And I said, okay, and that's the ultimate goal, is helping get people get closer to God and let people know to get their scripture infused within their lifestyle and manage his resources in the most effective way at the same time, but also giving back. I mean, I think the undercurrent is that I think a lot of times people will think, they hear that word abundance and they'll say, oh, this is the secret to getting rich. I think the hidden agenda is really, it's really not about money. More than it is more about Christ, and it is about our relationship with money and our relationship with him and how we then use that relationship with God to help us more effectively develop a relationship with each other And what better time than to do that now than with so much divisiveness, so much hate, so much anger, so much sadness, so much isolation that individuals are going through. You know, I think that, I mean, God couldn't have picked a better time. And I really, when I was really, really, it resonated with me one time when I woke up and I said, okay, God, I know why you did this at this time. I got it. I got your message.
It's amazing how he works, isn't it, Ryan? I mean, it just, it's like when you're in the moment, though, you're like, okay, you want to have a few words with God. Sometimes you don't want to repeat what you're thinking, that those few words are with him. And then when you follow through and you're like, okay, now I see it, Lord.
Yeah.
But it's, and that goes even with our finances, you know? Well, before we get too deep into all of that, I've got to ask you, what brings you joy?
What brings me joy is helping people. It really is. When I get calls, when I hear someone and send me an email and say, Ryan, I've been able to get out of debt. Ryan, I moved out of the homeless shelter. I get a lot of letters from people in prison. And they say, hey, Ryan, I read this book or that book that you wrote. And I just want to say thank you for that. And I wanted, about a couple of weeks ago, I got all these note cards from a prison I visited down in Texas. And it just touched me. So those are the type of things that keep me going. I mean, really, God, it's God's work brings me the most joy more than anything else. It's just really moving the needle and knowing that I can help someone even just a little bit.
Well, I can hear it in your heart and in your tone. It's just absolutely beautiful. Well, what was it like for you growing up?
Well, we didn't have a lot of money. I guess my mother was the best financial, she wasn't practicing financial planning, but she was the most renowned. I mean, way before Susie Orman, I knew Carol Mack, you know, and she would make pizza with government cheese, government sausage, and Wonder Bread and tomato paste, you know. And we would watch movies on the black and white TV with the pliers. And my brother and I would have to change with holding the antenna. And we would go to the dollar movie to get the quarter popcorn and bring it back home so we could have buttered popcorn while we watched the movie. And I remember we would go shopping. She would window shop. I grew up in Detroit, so Somerset Mall is one of the more highfalutin malls. And she would window shop there because we were on, you know, welfare, subsidized living, but she couldn't afford to buy what was in those places, but would go back and would go by the thrift store and would buy the exact same things that she saw in the windows at the fancy places at the resale shops. And so she would have, you know, $5 and $10 outfits and would be the best dressed person at her job, you know. And people always say, where do you get your stuff? And she would say, Saks Fifth Avenue. When she wasn't lying, it was a Saks Fifth Avenue blouse or pants or what have you. So she really showed me and my brother how to, you know, put two nickels together and try to make a couple of dollars out of it. And we never knew we were poor. And she taught me contentment. I wrote about that in the book. I learned that from my mom. Is I'm not happy with my state. I'm happy in it. And that's only because you know that God is good and you can understand that you can work harder to create a better tomorrow. So you're thinking about, and provision for abundance comes from that. It really comes from my mother. It's almost like a dedication to her that you're preparing for where you're going, not where you're at. And that's what we do on every trip. And God has us all on trips and all on these journeys that, you know, people say, Ryan, why do you teach returning citizens about an IRA or home ownership? Or why do you go to homeless shelters and teach about home ownership? I said, because I'm teaching them of what God's potential is in their life. And that potential is for everyone. If they still have a pulse, they can do it. So I'm putting those seeds in. And then helping them along the way to figure out how we can get to where we're going, not where we're at. And that's where contentment is.
That's all so good. We needed to replay those, you know, 25 sentences that you just spoke, because it truly is about where we are in it instead of where we are placed with it. Exactly. And we may not like the circumstances that we are with and how we have to live. I mean, look at how far you've come. How did you become interested in finance, of all things?
Well, I mean, I was my mother always said I would walk around the house holding a quarter, and I would hold on to it, and I never would let it go. You know, and she said, and she would give me a quarter, and 2 hours later, I would still have that quarter clenched in my fist. But then, so she said, Ron, you're going to do something involving money. The short of it is that I went to University of Michigan business school. University of Michigan, my mentor, I thought I was going to go to med school, and this is how God works, right? I just knew I was going to go to med school. And my mentor, Rashad Wells, said, you know, University of Michigan is the number one ranked school in the country right now for their BBA program. I said, no, I think I'm going to med school, man. I got to go to Harvard Medical School. He said, man, just go check it out. I checked it out. I talked to Bethany Spots. She enrolled me in the program pretty much on the spot and to at least to apply for it. And I was one of the few that were able to get in to the program. And next thing you know, I was in business. And then I went from there to becoming a stock trader. I didn't get the job I wanted to in New York, but I got a small stock trading firm in Detroit, Michigan. And I loved it. I loved everything about it. And I pretty much hustled my way to work with Knight Equity Markets, which is the largest NASDAQ trading firm in the world. They weren't really hiring people at the time, but I started to route all my orders to Knight from this small trading firm in Detroit. And I asked the guy, after about 6 months of time, I said, Steve, are y'all hiring? He said, well, he's not going to say no because I'm making him all this money. I'm sending him all our order flow. And he said, yeah, well, you looking for something? Yeah, I wouldn't mind. This was September of it was back in 2000. And so next thing you know, I'm on the phone with Maria from HR. She said, let's schedule a phone interview. I flew out just to show up. And I acted like I didn't know it was a phone interview. I just showed up and said, hey, I'm here for my interview. And they said, well, this is supposed to be an over-the-phone interview. I said, oh, I didn't know. I came all this way. I didn't know. That's how I got on Wall Street. They were very impressed that I showed initiative to come out. That's how I got on Wall Street. But then I started to realize that people in my family, I love Wall. I was a great stock trader. I traded biotechnology stocks for about five years. And so I was able to, I realized that a lot of my family didn't know what I was doing. So one day I said, you know what, let me create a Making Money Work chat group. I started writing newsletters. And from that, I said, no, I'm just going to quit altogether and you be a financial planner because there's too many people that just don't know about this. And then there's a company, I won't say the name of the company. They gave me an offer and they said, well, you know, and I said, I'm so excited. And I quit my job to take this offer. And I said, I'm so excited. I want to take your company to my church and to my neighbor. I'm going to take you to public housing. And the guy, I can't remember, just like yesterday, he said, if you don't work with high net worth individuals, everybody else is a waste of time. And that's the structure of Wall Street is just that. They view, unless you have 5 zeros or at least 6 zeros after your income, then you are a waste of time. There's no point in talking to you, no point in dealing with you. And I said, wow, if my own mother came to the door, I wouldn't be able to help my mom. And so I made up God forgive me a lie. So, you know, I got to talk to my attorneys before I fill out this paperwork. And I didn't have any attorneys. And so I started Optimum Capital Management then. And I've always been an awful salesman, but God has been good only because he blessed me with CNN. And I kept teaching. And I would always talk myself out of a sale because, no, you don't need all that insurance and you don't need all that. And when my lights got shut off, because I wasn't making any money after about a year, my savings were gone. But I got a group of kids and I started to teach them financial literacy. And then they started to teach adults financial literacy. Then they got picked up in Black Enterprise. And I always joke that I was the brokest man to ever be in Black Enterprise magazine because I wasn't making any money back in 2006 or 7. But that gave me an exposure. I was still teaching. That put me up to CNN. And from that kind of blew up. Then the recession happened. And then they couldn't get enough talking heads. And they just needed to have more people to talk. So I started doing CNN 4 or 5 times a week. And every single time they would put my company name out there. So I didn't have to sell. people just call me, and then I would that enabled me to make enough money just to keep my lights on, and I started to grow from there. Then I started to write books about it, and I've never made tons of money, but it's good enough to keep my lights on and maybe travel every once in a while and whatnot. Not necessarily have to worry as much about money, but it was really all about God. It was God all the way, just really tailoring every single ebb and flow of my life, even to now. I mean, there are times I would pray to God about something, and the phone would ring 5 minutes later answering. I mean, it's unbelievable. To the time when I was walking home and I saw when I decided to take the biblical way, and I said, you know, and God reminded me of his power, I saw a young woman, and I know I'm being long with it, I apologize, but I saw a young girl get shot in my neighborhood. And this is August, this is April 2005. And I just started my business, it was about a year in, and they were pulling the sheet over her head, right around the corner from where I lived. And it hit me, and I knew that was the corner where the Bloods were at in my neighborhood. And I said, wow, man, it just hurt me to the core. And I found out later on the news that it was a crossfire, that some Crips had infringed on some territory for the Bloods, and then they just went the wrong place at the wrong time. At that point in 2005, 10 years before that, over the 10 previous years, I'd had 5 of my good friends murdered by gun violence in Detroit. And so I said, wow, you know what? There has to be a solution to this, God. There has to be something we can do to stop this, where the people who are choosing to take the life of my God brother, my God sister, my 2 fraternity brothers, my good friend from college, there has to be something where before they pull that trigger, they can think that there's another option for me. What can I do to use these skills that you've given me to empower them where they don't have to go about doing this lifestyle? You know, the big thing is now is, you know, criminal justice reform. Everybody's talking about it now, you know, and there's always political shifts on which side. And I'm like, man, I've been thinking about crime for forever. Like, this is what we have to do. So we started to work with gang members, and we just pulled them aside. And over the next 2 years, because I had this business, we were helped over 2,000 gang members to get jobs and formerly incarcerated. And it was a group of us, and all of us had our own businesses. And my job was to teach them financial literacy. And less than 5% of them, of those who got jobs, or less than 5% of all of them went back to prison. And 60% kept their jobs for over 3 months, for at least the next 6 months. 60% actually at least 6 months. And we didn't get a dime of funding. This is all because we all had our own businesses and everybody played their lane. And from that point on, I just knew, I said, this is the way I want to go from now until I'm 95. I said, God, you got me. You ain't got to tell me nothing else. You keep showing me so much of what we can do that's tangible. There's a solution out there for what the pain is we're going through. The corona, there's a God solution. Criminal justice, there's a God solution. Poverty, there's a God solution. There's a solution in the Word of God outlines every single thing that we are going through and how to fix it. And that's where the book came from. That's the long-winded answer, so I apologize for it.
Oh, no, don't apologize. Y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Provisions for Abundance, A Christian's Guide to Money Management, Gratitude, and Giving Back. Well, obviously, Ryan, you are living this out, meaning the Christian Guide to Money Management, Gratitude, yep, and Giving Back. There are some people on the flip side of the coin that would say, yeah, I just don't believe that he could do what he did with himself because, you know, he came from such a poor background. How have you not let your circumstances dictate your success, not necessarily monetarily, but also your heart success?
I mean, I've been blessed. I've been blessed along the way. And this is why, I mean, one of my first books is called Living in the Village, is because that title came from, you know, if it takes a village to raise a child, people have heard about that. But before you get to the power of the village that empowers the children, you have to empower each individual of the village. So we all have to play our own role. And, you know, it talks about it with in Elijah the Tishbite, who had his path. His path wasn't for him. His path was for the widow. And the widow, and more specifically, the widow's child, that at the end of his path, I will breathe life into this child to breathe life again. And that's what we're all tasked to do. Like, everyone had a lane in that story. So, you know, whether it's individuals that didn't believe Elijah from the beginning of his journey, to the raven that fed him at the brook, to the widow who said this is a man of God and was maybe a little skeptical, but followed his orders and instruction anyway, to giving her son over and doing and following her instructions of handing her. Everybody has a role to play. And if one person didn't play their role, from Jesus feeding 5,000, feeding the masses. I mean, you got to imagine, it's not in the Bible, but you got to imagine there's somewhere there's a mother who had to pack that little boy's lunch, you know? So the mother, if she felt that her role was insignificant, and or she was too poor to create change, then she wouldn't have created the lunch that actually fed 5,000 people. So we have to really understand that how God works, and it's not about stature, it's not about money, it's not about where you're from, or it's about your spirit and your relationship with God, because all of us have that connection to the Holy One who's pushing all of us. No matter if you get 5, 2, or 1 talent, it don't matter where you're at in life, He's pushing all of us to create something that's greater, for not for ourselves but for other people. So literally, it's like the most selfish thing anybody can do is quit, because once you quit, you really are saying that the blessing that I'm going to give to someone else through God who is working through me is not worth my effort. And that's just not cool. You know what I'm saying? That's just not cool. We have to really understand that all of us have, if we have a pulse, we got a purpose. And that lane that we're in, no matter how little or much we have, you know, I mean, look at Moses. Look at Abraham. Look at all these folks who've done so much with so little. And then God really just reminds us that, you know what? Everything that you ever need is always in your hand. I got you. Just look at your hand. Oh, it's the rod there. I can part this Red Sea. There it is. Just look in your hand. So what do we have? What's in your house? What's in your home? The mother who gave birth to Moses. You know, it was the blessing was in her home. You know, it's just all these things that God gives us. Even to Jesus, some little poor kid wrapped in rags, riding in on a donkey. What is that guy going to do? But just save the whole world. You know, so it's like, how can you degrade the power that God gives? Even if you've got the face of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. So it don't matter how little you have.
Amen. Amen. So good, brother. I just love it. And I don't think this can be said enough, because we hear all the noise, yeah. You know, what's being fed, and we're forgetting the most important thing, and that's God. For the one who's sitting there struggling and saying, you know what, okay, I'm in this situation, I know I want more of, doesn't matter if they're poor, or doesn't matter if they're making millions, but they want more, what would you tell them as their first step?
The first step is, it talks about in the Bible that we have to call for a renewal of our mind, a transformation of our soul and spirit, and of our mind, and really get this together. That's always been the first part in every class that I ever teach, is dealing with the mentality. Because nothing, it will go, even the root word of capital, if you want to talk about more money, capital, the Latin root word, C-A-P-I-T, is capit. That doesn't mean money, it means head. So capital is really not about money, it's all about here, the head. And the word says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So all the things that we have, if you really want more, you have to start with one, who has the ability to give you more? Where does abundance come from? Well, that abundance comes from God. And if that abundance comes from God, well, how does God influence me? Well, he's getting me a written plan. Okay, so as I read the word, which will influence my thoughts, then the thoughts will influence the words I speak, to the actions I take, to the habits that I do, to the character that I develop, to the destiny that I go. It literally is starting with the word, to really take these tangible steps and make them practical. So the Bible is not just something that you read on the Sabbath. The Bible is something that you should read every day.
Yes.
Not just read it. It's a class I'm teaching now that says, no, don't just read it. Read it, sit for a second, let God speak to you. Because we're so rushed. We want to rush. So God wants to have a relationship. And people are always worried about, well, you know, memorizing this. It ain't about memorizing scriptures. It's not about just checking the box and say, I read that scripture for the day. No, it's about, did you give enough time for God to have a connection with you, to form that relationship with you, to help you figure out how to move? Because God has promised us in the Word that He will fulfill all our needs according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. So if He's promised us that, He has to first talk to you on how to let you walk to that promise. And our love must not be a thing of words and fine talk. It must be a thing of action and sincerity. So God is, faith is a very action-oriented, and it's very hard. Faith is not unicorns. Faith is challenging. Faith is a challenge. Faith is work. Faith will have not works is dead, James 2:17. So a lot of individuals have this misconception that I can just sit back and wait. And sometimes waiting on God is necessary. But then many times God will give you an instruction to justify the blessing. And we have to understand that the future that we create is based on the instruction that we follow. So how do we create that future with more? We have to first get the instruction to build and to and put within our spirit to then teach us to walk more. And it's like we've been giving a test. We're now all in a test, which the answers are already been given to us in the Word of God. The answers are already laid out. So we don't have to look other places. It's already there. If you find every single recession that has ever happened that has principles in the Word of God that if you look at, if they were followed, could have been avoided and averted from a mass level. Now, not everyone's going to follow the Word of God, and there's going to be a lot of folks and evil that lurks within the world, so we have to learn about the Word of God to be able to navigate through these things that are caused by worldly and carnal desires that are influencing us every single day. And that's cool because God gives us answers to that as well. So if you want more, it's already written for you.
Oh, that is so good. You know, I'm sitting here taking notes. I can't write fast enough. You know, what I love about your book, Ryan, it's written very uniquely. And you have, it's a devotional style. So you've got the title followed by the scripture, then you've got thoughts, and then you have more scriptures, usually at least two scriptures to follow up. And then you have kind of to reinforce that thought, you know, for the day and the daily tip. I want to just highlight a couple of them to give people a taste. And it was hard because there are so many, 365 to choose from, as a matter of fact. But I just wanted to grab a few ones. One is day 158, be a farmer. I mean, seriously, I read that and I'm like, okay, where are we going with this? Well, I quote, our seed is the word of God. The good ground the seeds need to be planted in is our hearts. And the way we help those seeds to grow is by speaking faith-filled words to ourselves and to others. How do you sow seeds of prosperity into your heart and not let anything destroy it?
I mean, you got to put on the armor of God, man. That's a great question because the enemy is real. And Satan is the doubt, the fear, the lack of hope, the anxiety, the worry, the lack of focus. All of these things are designed to take us off the focus of the sea. And the thing about being a farmer is that if you look at what a farmer does, it really is just a perfect analogy for life. And first of all, most of the book is really God-given messages to me, okay? So I just want folks to really understand that I ain't perfect and I need help as much, but God was really directing me. And as He directs me, I would say, oh, wow, that's awesome. I got to write it down. So I would always have my phone and I would always have my notes. And I'm like, yeah, I got it. So it literally is God messages that I think that, okay, yeah, okay, God, I got you. But if you're really talking about seeds, like what is a seed? Like the farmer has the ability to seed. But But, you know, the farmer doesn't start out with the harvest, you know. It starts out with the seed. So, but there's a lot of things that happen before the harvest comes. And he has the foresight and understands that the harvest is coming. But the actions of what he does helps create the harvest. So he plants the seed. He cultivates the ground. He puts in the fertilizer. He goes around. He wrote with all different types of things. Make sure that it's properly watered regularly. And if it doesn't rain, he has to have a solution for that, irrigation systems. It's all sorts of things he has to do because it's a hard work to be a farmer. But he does it all with the thought in mind that one day this is going to be a harvest. Now, there are many things that the farmer that can happen. Well, what if it rains? Okay, well, he can say at that point, oh, well, you know what, forget it, I quit. You know, I guess if it doesn't rain, then I'm just not meant to grow this harvest. Well, no. Well, the farmer says, well, I have to think about another solution to be able to get that. Okay, well, let me develop this irrigation system to make sure if there's lack of rain, I can still get all my harvest watered. Because for every vision, God provides provision, right? So that's what farmers have to do. That's as we all are farmers, and making sure that we're not being tainted by negativity and all these things that just don't want us to be successful. Because Satan is real, and he's out there, and he doesn't want folks to think that they can be successful. And I can't tell how many folks, not every story of every gang member I've worked with has been a success story. I've had many that have failed, and quite frankly, because they just didn't believe in their own ability to create that harvest. They didn't believe in their ability that they had the ability to change that lifestyle. And so I think about them all the time, and quite frankly, to your question, they succumb to just that they feel that their spirit gets so tainted that there's no seed that they can ever plant that they're going to be successful, that they now have to rely on what they've known previously, where I've talked to many folks in various neighborhoods, and they say things like, well, I don't know another way, so I know if I see someone with a fur coat on, that can feed my child, you know? So, I mean, obviously that's the wrong thing to do, but my heart goes out to that thought process, which is why I don't judge them, you know? I don't judge, you know, and it's not my job. It's above my pay grade to judge them or demonize them. But it is my job as a Christian to help them figure out, okay, we have to give them more effective means that they can have confidence that seed can germinate and grow into a harvest that will eventually feed other people and get other folks out of a situation that you were originally in. Because it happened to all of us at one point. All of us, someone had to come along in everybody's life that said, let me help you and assist you along the way. And because that's how God works many times, by blessing us through others.
Love it, love it. Okay, we got to do another one. So this one is beaten by fear. This is day 220. If we don't have enough fear happening, right? I mean, it can be a fear of anything. You write, sometimes we are faced with huge challenges and need to evaluate them. We allow our fear to be so great that we don't even address these issues. You also write, your fear of the giants will beat you if you don't face it. Mm. How do you face your giants?
Poof. Well, I mean, I can't say I'm always in need of help. Okay. And I have I always say that if you're the smartest person in your network, you need to find another network, you know, because I've got folks in my network that are way smarter than me, that have been there, done that before. They've got great ideas. What I like to do, whenever I think I'm facing something that could seem insurmountable, I like to talk to someone who's done something similar. And then my brother is one of my spiritual advisors. My mentor is one of my spiritual. I have many mentors who've created businesses, who failed at businesses and overcome those failures. And so if I talk to someone and say, hey, you know what? This is why I think that we have to expand our network. You know, they say our network is our net worth. And God has blessed me with so many people that have helped me just look at it and say, you know what? I think that can be done. Because fear is one of the biggest financial inhibitors. I mean, just yesterday, I had someone who told me, I don't want to do a budget because I'm afraid of what I'm going to see, you know, and I don't want to really see how little money I'm making. So I'd rather just not even deal with it. And said that in 66 years old, this is the first time in her life that she actually sat down. We're doing a 30-day spending diary with her that actually sat down and put together a budget and now is minding what she's spending every single day. And it was out of fear. Yeah. So it's like we all have these giants that we got to overcome. But the thing is this, is that if we have God, and we get, and sometimes fear causes us to forget that God is real, you know. And fear is really just a, fear and worry is just negative meditation on your lack of belief that God is who he is. Because there's nothing that God hasn't seen and can't overcome. He's a limitless God. He's an ultimate Alpha and Omega God. Everything that you could ever think of, God has done 10, 100 fold, a million fold, infinity fold. So there's nothing that God can't do through you. Even if you can't do it yourself in the natural, God can supplement in the supernatural to make it happen for you. So we can't, there's nothing you can't overcome. If you're thinking it, God gave it, allowed you to have that thought because it can be achieved. Because he's not going to allow you to walk down the path that can't be successful. So you got to remember that God is real. That's what I always remember. Okay, God is real. And I got a vision board. I got a couple of vision boards. And I got the short-term vision board that has the immediate day-to-day needs on it every day. And I got the long-term vision board where the big things in life, the book was one of them, that this is things that I remember when I wrote that on there about 2.5 years ago, I got to write this book, 365-day devotional on the long-term vision board. So where I'm at now is a fruition manifestation of another vision, working with one of the largest unions in the country, teaching financial literacy for them. It's all on the vision board. And I just kept through rejection. No. But no, God is real because he allowed me to have this thought. So I can't quit. Because once I quit, I'm giving power to the enemy who doesn't want me to be successful. And so that, I mean, I can't say I've gotten rid of the fears, but I definitely know how to handle them, you know, and I face them. And because I think fear is about as real. I mean, somebody said, and I'm messing up the quote, and I forgot he even said it. Courage is the ability to deal with your fears effectively and overcome it. And so it's not about not having fear to make you think that you're imperfect or less than. It's about dealing with it and facing it. And then understanding that God is real and pushing on it.
Wow, that's good. I mean, because when you think about it, it all wraps up into it, right? When you have that faith to know that God is real, it also brings up another question, though, as in trusting God. How can we better trust God, even with our finances? Because some people are like, okay, I can pray for healing, you know, because I have a medical diagnosis, or I can pray that I get, you know, from point A to point B when I'm traveling. But really, does he really want to be a part of our finances?
He does. God, every part of your life, God is in control of. There's not a single part of your life that he doesn't have control over or own or know about. We own nothing. You know, this is a water bottle here. I'm in possession of a water bottle. But all things on this earth are owned by God. You know, so this is not my water bottle. And so it's ludicrous to believe that God is going to allow an element of your life because people don't think it's as popular as the next element to not teach you how to deal with that, right? And that involves money. And I talk about like the 5 points of prosperity, spiritual prosperity, social prosperity, mental prosperity, financial prosperity. Physical prosperity for health. I'm dealing with that because I've gained weight from quarantine, right? So I'm trying to deal with all these things. Every part of your life, God has a solution for, and even including money. Like we talk about those 5 prosperities, there's only one prosperity, which means achieving prosperity. All it means, you know, a lot of people say, well, Ryan, you teach people how to get rich. No. Prosperity means, and even, well, I'll tell you this, when my mother was on welfare, she was very prosperous. She had strong mental prosperity. She had strong spiritual prosperity. she was very healthy, so she had strong physical prosperity and social prosperity. She gave back to the community all the time. So she had four out of the five. She just didn't have the financial part, right? So she was very prosperous on welfare. So we can be prosperous and figure, and I think that's, to me, I'm like, shoot, no matter how little you have, you still have something to give because you're here. The evidence that you have something to give is that you're here. And so those are all the things is that we just got to understand, especially where we're going and who's really in control. And God is not going to leave us this love letter without teaching us about finances. I remember the first, there's so many of the authors, man. I got to give a shout out to all the other authors. Larry Burkett, he's passed away, but he's one of my favorite ones. Ron Blue, Dick Brussos, Randy Alcorn, Howard Dayton, Lee Jenkins, one of the first person that I read. So there's so many authors that are out there. Crown Financial Ministries, man, I used to be where they help people free of charge using the Bible and helping them with their budgeting. So there's so many authors that Dick Brussos, I think I said him. So there's tons of authors I read that all teach from a biblical perspective how to manage money. So I think maybe they might not be mainstream, but they're mainstream to me. I wish I'd have had them. Ron Blue, I want to meet him, but Larry Burkett, I wish I'd have had a chance to meet him. But there's many folks out there doing some really good work.
Oh, man. You know, Ryan, you are a wealth of information, and I can just tell your heart is seated at the foot of God himself. You know, your year-long devotional is really aimed to help people with their finances through that whole year. If we're sitting there going, okay, I don't have a budget, like that 66-year-old, or you don't even like know where to start, what is one action we can begin to take?
Write down pray about it, speak to God about it, let him know your desires, let him know your fears, be real, be honest with him. This is not the time when you're starting out on this journey. This is not the time to be fake. I talk about, I forgot which day, about one of the reasons that individuals spend money irresponsibly is that they fool themselves. And one is that maybe from humble upbringing, or they fool themselves and they're trying to be someone that they're not. And so when you talk to God, you can't fool God. You can't pull the wool over his eyes. He knows your heart. He knows how you feel. He knows your thoughts. Be real with him. He just wants you to be real. You ever notice whenever God asks a question, or when Jesus asks a question, anywhere in the Bible, Jesus knows the answer. Just asking to see, you know, where's your brother at? You know, he's just asking to see what you will say and how you will respond to see if there's a relationship there, right? So that relationship that we have, so the first thing you have to do is just talk to God, commune with God, be at one with him. Then you got to write it down. You got to write this stuff down on paper, man. You got to write your goals down. You got to write them all down as much as possible, and then start to really look at them. When you write them down, then you think, okay, here are my goals, here are my desires. And then sometimes people need help with writing goals. So if you have anyone that might be able to help you, or have a study buddy or a financial buddy, a lot of people in the classes that I take, I urge them. If they're married, they have a natural helpmate already. But if they're single, then, hey, you know, is there someone else in the class that you might be able to talk to? Or just say, hey, you know, what type of things? Because some people don't know what to ask for. They don't know. They've heard some vague stuff about retirement, but I don't know. I'm just winging it. Or about this home ownership, I think I'd rather rent, but it seems nice, but I don't know about that. Or they don't know how to do it. So really writing your goals down and then putting together a tangible action plan on how to get there. How much is it going to cost to buy that home? How much is it going to cost for you to retire? All these things can be calculated. The beautiful part about finance is that all these things are you can calculate how much it's going to cost you to support your lifestyle in a given month during retirement. How much is going to cost you to buy that home? How much is going to cost you to send your kid to college? How much does it cost you to donate $2,000 a month to endowment fund. Whatever your goal is, you know there's an amount that it's going to cost, and then you have to say, okay, so now my budget helps me to get there. Okay, now let me write down all my expenses. What's inhibiting me from getting my expenses together? And it's very revealing. And then you want to write down all your debt. I do this with everyone. I write down a budget template. Write down that budget template. Organize it from biggest debt on the top, smallest debt on the bottom. Now, pay from the bottom up, snowballing method. But many people pay. It all depends on people's psychology. So I have to kind of talk to how they deal with it. Many individuals, most people that I've worked with, find it more beneficial to pay the smallest debt first. Because if they, even though it's not necessarily mathematically beneficial, the smallest debt, when you eliminate that, you had five debts. Now you have four. Now you have three. Even though the last three are huge and have huge interest rates, you feel like you're moving through. You feel like you have progress. So people like to see that psychic income, that progress. It's like, oh, wow, I'm moving through. So writing all that stuff down and then navigating through it. And to me, finances is one of the most tangible ways that you can measure progress. Your FICO score was 550, now it's 700. Your debt level was $15,000, now it's 7,000. Your savings level, you have, and every week I talk to various people, what was your savings this week? Okay, now you have $500 from last week, good job. You know, $250 from last week, or $1, it don't matter, good job, you didn't go backwards. It's tangible, but it all starts with changing your mindset, writing it down, talking to God, and then allowing you to just continue to be put together a system. And whatever that system is, creates that habit that you'll be able to return to it where it should be natural. It should be natural to budget. And then, technology is crazy. We got technology that can help you budget. Takes money, automatic deposit. It even tells you what your asset allocate, like fincalc.com, FINCALC. All these calculators, how much is it going to cost for to buy it all? Should you consolidate or not? How much is it going to cost to consolidate or not? All these calculators, it's like literally, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know this stuff. It's intimidating to walk down that path. But once you start, it becomes systemic. And then next thing you know, you're like, wow, I'm out of debt. Oh, wow, I got enough for my retirement. Oh, wow, okay. And it's like those wow moments that I live for, because that means you really like, oh, I didn't know. It's like, oh, really? Oh, wow. And then you're moving in the right direction.
Oh, I like those oh, wow moments. People use aha, but I like the oh, wow better. Well, in financial endeavors, you know, there are people that maybe they even calculate, you know, specifically on their budget, whatever. In all of your conversations, where do you find that people can save money, but they're not aware that they could save money there?
Well, the first thing I usually go to is what they're eating. Eating is a big money grabber. Going every day, the hidden jewel that a lot of folks don't really understand, especially nowadays during the pandemic, is that you can call your creditors and they'll be a lot more lenient with their interest rates. I've gotten a few folks to help them save a couple hundred bucks a month by getting their interest rates lowered, because the people are being a lot more just a lot more lax when they're trying to work with folks, and especially if you call them before you're late. That's the key factor, is calling before you're late. And I mean, I've got tons of resources. So if anyone ever needs, we're working on an organization called Spring 4, and they have over 18,000 vetted nonprofits across the country. So someone emails me and says, Ryan, I live in New Orleans, or I live in LA, you know, I need someone to help me with my finances. I can, by the zip code, send them a free a listing of all the free financial coaches that are there that are in their area. So it's like, just hit me up, you know. And I don't charge any stuff. I don't charge anybody for any of this stuff, man. It's just, and God has set up. But anyway, so I'm all over the place. So, but definitely from eating out, going out with friends, that's one of the blessings of COVID. Because we don't go out as much, but that used to be one of the biggest killers of a lot of budgets, where individuals, next thing you know, they're hanging out, and they're spending a whole lot more than what they had. But now we're in the age of technology. The kids are home. They have access to their phone. All these apps have some level of the ability to spend on them. So put some parental controls on those apps because they're spending money. Shop, food shopping at the grocery store. Use the bulletin board or the window where all the coupons, where all the sales to plan your meals for the week. For the low-income folks that really want to save a little bit more money and stretch their budget, use coupons to plan your week, but also replace that expensive meat with maybe some beans, which still gives you some protein so you can stretch your budget a little bit more. I've had to talk to a lot of low-income families over these past couple of months on how to let them stretch their budget a little bit more. To have a conversation. We spend so much money as families, especially now where a lot of folks are home, living, we're isolated, we're amongst ourselves. Kids are going back and forth to the refrigerator 4 or 5 times. Next thing you know, that milk that was supposed to last a week and a half, or at least 2 weeks, is gone in 5 days. And now you got to go back to the grocery store. And the people at the grocery store are not necessarily supposed to know your name that much. Like, they're not supposed to know you. Like, we can't going back. So you got to have some conversations with families about how much we're spending. And tell them what the real deal is. Hey, look, dad's furloughed. I'm working double shift to try to stay on. I'm an essential worker, so I still have a job. But no, we're going to have to save some money so you can't go and keep this food like that. But those are some of the biggest things. Carpooling is one great way for folks that are going back and forth to work, saving a little bit of money on gas. Another. I would say the gym membership that people are not using. I've noticed that a couple of times in a couple of budgets. They're not going to the gym, so why are you still paying $20 a month to go to Planet Fitness if you haven't been since before COVID? Those are something I can think off the top of my head. And the thing is that interest versus interest. I tell this to all the folks I work with, right? So, like I said, my job is to make sure that for every debt that you get, Amazon, oh my goodness, my mother does that. You know, every time I go, I see my mom, she got a new package at the door. It's so easy to shop. And it's now our luxuries that used to be luxuries because we're home and we're thinking about it all the time, now become necessities. Oh, I need this new place setting. I need this new. But they used to be luxuries back in the day because you were working and moving next. You didn't have that much time to think about it. Streaming services. They got so many. All these movies are now trying. They know you're not going to the movie theater, but they're still trying to get into your pocket. So all these streaming services are trying to figure out a way to show you the best movie and then say, well, if you just pick all of us. So now we're spending collectively more than what we used to spend going to the movie theaters because we're spending on a month-to-month basis. I saw a lot of cases with streaming services where people are spending so much on streaming services that they may only watch one or two, and they still have cable that they're paying for. Our phone, call your phone company. Ask them if they have a plan. A lot of folks have not asked their phone company if they have a new plan that they might be eligible for, where they can get a reduction in the amount and still get the same level of services. I think about it. The more I think about it, the more stuff is going to come. And I'm just thinking about all the stuff about people I've been talking to.
Well, I can only imagine because of how many people that you have helped. You're a man who gives of his time, his money, and his expertise. You're currently working on a project with Governor Cuomo's faith-based leader to bring about economic change. Share with us a little bit about that project.
That's a part of a huge piece, right? So Kareem Kamara is a good buddy of mine who he's a pastor as well, but he's the head of faith-based initiative for Andrew Cuomo. And I have a relationship with the AARP Foundation, where the MySavingsJar.org digital platform is a free platform where you go on, you learn budgeting tips and strategies, but they also have a community engagement board where my role is to go on that board and answer questions, engage with the folks that are going on there. Tomorrow, we're launching a weekly video series wherever you like. But tomorrow we're talking about finance, talking money, and COVID is tomorrow. I'm really excited. And every Wednesday from 7 to 8:30. So I talked to Kareem. I said, "Hey man, look, I know with faith-based initiatives, what we're doing is we're signing up churches to jump on this initiative." And so we've got a few. We started in Detroit, where Pastor Marvin Winers is on there, and Pastor Wendy Anthony is on there, where they get their churches to promote their church to jump on the Wednesday call and jump on the platform as a whole, so they can start using it, and they create their own savings club for the church, where ARP Foundation turns around and says, "All right, well, for this particular savings for this church, hey, here's a report on how much your people were able to save," and that type of deal. They send the church's reports, and it's all free services, free of charge, and they don't have to pay anything, but now they can help to document how much they'll be able to save if churches can create savings goals for their membership. And my job is, as they're creating those goals, is to teach them on the platform, answer emails. So after 4 weeks of doing this, I got a four-week course. After the 4 weeks, I'm going to be engaging them enough. I'm going to let them tell me what topics moving forward on Wednesday they want to talk about. So they're going to dictate the topics moving forward. But we're adding more churches. So where Kareem came in is that he has tons of churches that, so he basically sends me all these churches from that he's been working with as leader of faith-based initiative, that I reach out to them and then let them know that, hey, this is Wednesday and we have other services as well. So if you have people that are in your parish that need education, we've got free resources to send to you. And my mother always says, don't say it, but I'm going to say it anyway because she thinks it's too big. I firmly believe that we can create a Christ-led economic revolution. I firmly believe that. And with a system in place, with virtual technology, all these churches can just jump online, and as they jump online, they learn, get access to resources, and then once I get too busy to start sending emails out, we got all tons of folks that are in line that can help me to responding to emails, sending them to these nonprofits to really just help the people to talk to. So in one central location, you have an ongoing integrated financial education piece that integrates into their lifestyles, not just the course. The days of one quarter, one class every 3 months, those days are done. You don't learn that way. You don't internalize it that way. You don't go to school one day a week. You go to school 5 days a week because you want to internalize what you're learning. So we have to, and the enemy that we're facing is a $320 billion industry. Payday loans, check cash, title loans, cash advance, rental centers, rental weed stores, pawn shops, prepaid debit cards, and then the $70 billion lotto ticket. So that's $390 billion they're making off of us by pimping us and exploiting us. And they, what they've done is they've integrated, and it's not just in Black communities. It's outside the rural communities. It's outside the veterans facilities. It's outside, any place you find poverty, you'll see the payday loans, taking 1 to 5% of your check. You'll see the cash advances trying to take 200 to 300% interest rate. You live in check to Tuesday. Well, I give you a payday loan to make you stretch your money to the next payday. Now you're in a cycle that they've integrated into our communities. And I've really been pushing hard on the various banks I've been talking to that we got to do a better job of creating less bank deserts so we can give them more access to these individuals to have bank accounts and setting up things. But in the meanwhile, we can set up this system to integrate this into the knowledge, and we can do it through the church because that's where we have it. So we're meeting with folks. I got with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm talking to them. And I'm just reaching out, man. We're reaching out to a few different folks. I'll be down in Charlotte, meet with them maybe sometime next month. They send me the email back. But I think what we can do, I honestly believe we can create a Christ-led economic revolution. And I don't say that lightly as a pie in the sky type thing. I really believe we can happen. And I really believe that we can do it to help millions. You know, Church of God in Christ, Bishop Blake, we're talking to him. We're trying to get him to get off the needle and just say, man, you're not paying any money. just educate your people, man. Let's just educate your people. And once we all really start moving it, that I think that now's the time that everyone's more prone to listen to a virtual solution because everybody's on Zoom. The world is slowed down. And I'm like, God, okay, God, I see you. So we're gonna capitalize on this. When I say capitalize, I'm not talking about money because nobody's paying and we're not even exchanging any money. But I think that with virtual technology is the most cost-efficient way to be able to create this movement. And so I'm ready to get this mission going. We've been working hard. And I'm just excited about it.
Well, if there are some listeners that are hearing this, where can they find out more information or how can they contact you?
Email me is the best way at ryancmack@gmail.com. R-Y-A-N-C is in Charlie, M-A-C-K@gmail.com. Hit me up and then I'll respond. If you have a church, we're doing family empowerment programs where various families are now starting to enroll, where I could be a moderator to the family, where families don't talk about money. You know, a lot of people that are out of jobs and in the family, they don't even know it. Oh, I didn't know you lost your job, or I didn't know you're about to lose your home, or I didn't know that you started a business. I didn't know. Oh, okay, so did you start a 529 for the college? All these things, families need to be more effective at talking to one another. But it's taboo in many families across all spectrum, all demographics. It's taboo. It's not taboo in rich households. They gonna talk about money. In rich households, for the working family, the working class, we just don't talk about money. So we gotta just get over this. If someone started a business, cheer for them, hug them, let's get it going. If someone wants to send their kid to school, create their own scholarship fund through the family. If someone's lost a job, get on the phone and everybody form a phone bank to figure out what type of work they can get back in or give them suggestions or where they can get training for a new job. The family, if we can build up the family, is one of the best ways that God has given us to have true empowerment. So I've been doing a lot of moderating of different family empowerment programs from a virtual level. I used to do it from house to house back in the day. I said, well, you know, I'm going to bring that dust off that program and start it back up again because now everybody's doing Zoom, so it's easy to do it now.
Well, and I know you've mentioned that you have classes. What can you tell us about those?
Yeah, every Wednesday night, we teach, every Wednesday night it's a different topic on the same Zoom link. And it's on different, it's through AARP Foundation on Wednesday from 7 to 8:30. And the purpose is really just to, we go over, like tomorrow is talking money and COVID. I think next week will be how to avoid financial predators. That's, again, 7 o'clock is Eastern Standard Time. But I do know every fifth week we're going to be doing a specialty course. So I'm excited about this. The fifth week is going to be dedicated to returning citizens. And so people that are released from prison, so we're going to have like more of a panel discussion of people who give tangible solutions for returning citizens. And then the following fifth week, we're going to be dedicating it to domestic abuse survivors. And I've got a few groups in my mind: youth aging out of foster care, veterans, all these different specialty groups that we're going to be connecting with, that get there to make sure that particular group signs on so they can get access to resources, you know, and know that there's a lot of free stuff that they can get to just empower them. And we're giving away the bank, man. It don't matter. We're giving it away. We just want to just give, man. Freely you have received, freely you shall give. And I'm in a position now where I'm able to do it, and I'm just blessed to be able to do it. So if anybody wants to join those Wednesday classes, Sunday I do it for a school, but it's a Sunday from 7 to 8:30. And that was only a 7-week course, but I think I'm just going to extend that and just keep doing it and almost make it like a regular thing. So I'm just teaching. That's what I do.
Well, we'll be sure to have all that information in the show notes because I know there's a lot my pen cannot write fast enough. Well, Ryan, once again, people are going to want to connect with you. Where can they find you?
Hit me up. Well, you can see me on Instagram. Everything's Ryan C. Mack. So Ryan C. Mack at Twitter, Ryan C. Mack on Instagram, Ryan C. Mack on Facebook, ryancmack@gmail.com. Email me with any question, you know. And again, I urge people to use this because we just got signed up with Spring 4, so I'm so excited about this service, right? Like, it's like, man, it's a free, it's paid, I don't pay for it. They gave it to me for free. But I'm like, I said, and this is how God works. And I'm just saying, I know you want to go. I said, God, we got to do something that can help refer people to local resources. Because there's tons of these local resources that are doing good work, and we got to refer these people to the local resources that can continue. Because I would do a session in this church or this session, and once I leave, people will hit me up, like, and I don't have the time to do one-on-one counseling with them. But I will refer them. I say, you know, I need to do a database of all the local. I said, but I'm not going to be able to do. And I literally, this is how the thought process went. I said, you know what? I'm not going to be able to create a database of all the nonprofits that are doing this stuff. This is not possible. The next day, I was talking to someone from the ARP Foundation, and she said, hey, Ryan, we got a great new resource for you. It's called Spring 4. They've got 18,000 nonprofits all vetted continuously where you can look up based on the need and the zip code of what the person is asking for. And literally, you can look it up and then you can give a list of all the nonprofits in that area providing that specific service. And most of them, I ask this question, so I'm always doing, always checking. They don't charge. So there's a couple that do charge, but they said for the most part, they're all free. Like, they had a couple of prepaid debit cards, and I said, I'm never referring them. But I'll refer to other stuff, though, the free stuff, you know. But most of the, over 90% of the stuff is free. So I really hope people utilize that service and just, because it's help out there to be gotten. And I think, you know, and God is going, you know, blessed is the Lord and Father of our God, Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Who has blessed us. God gave us everything we need to be successful. We don't have to ask for nothing. It's already here. And I believe that. No matter how destitute your situation is, it's already here. God gave us, we just got to look for it and get it. So this one, I think it's a brilliant solution. I was so happy when I saw it.
I think it's fantastic. And for you being willing to give of your time to help people out there. And I think some of us just are sitting there with our hands open going, gosh, I don't even know where to begin. At least they now have a jumping off point in a positive way when it comes to finances and looking at it through scripture in a different light. Well, Ryan, before I let you go, the series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
My story has gifted me how all-knowing and powerful God is. And I'm in awe every day of what he brought me through. And just, man, I'm just in awe. I can't say half of it. But I'm just in awe. It's like God is like, man, why would? And sometimes you don't feel like you deserve it, you know. You don't feel like, you know. You don't, but I'm just in awe. I'm in awe, like, and how God moves, and it's like, why would you do this? You know, why out of anyone? Why for me? You know. And the thing is, he did it for all of us. He did it for everybody, and that's he's do that and to give of that. Powerful thing, man. It's a powerful thing. God is. He's just gone. I mean, when I gave my life to him February 1996, that was all it took. And from that point on, I said, all right, God, you got me. Let's go.
That's going. Now you're playing big.
Gotta go big.
That's right. You gotta go big with God. I mean, that's the only thing. And you definitely have. Ryan, I am so really just overcome by your heart and your desire to really serve those who are hurting also in a different light. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are serving, but from a financial perspective, you're just a breath of fresh air. Thank you, my brother, and many, many blessings.
I thank you so much for the work you're doing and for giving folks a chance to vent and use your platform. It's a blessing. You're a blessing as well, my sister. I really appreciate you. I really do.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.